Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's screaming from the rooftops for the big banks to help out America's small businesses, the Robin Hood of small business.
Now, don't be sore at the banks. How? We fired our CEO and he barely got out with $50 million.
That poor man, is he okay?
Well, as okay as you can be in the north of France.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And we got our good buddy Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and he's editor, one of the editors over at Kiplinger Editors, the folks who produced the Kiplinger Letter, and which we've been covering now. Next month will be our 12th consecutive year to be covering the Kiplinger Letter, a publication I've been reading since way back in the early 1970s. Of course, they've been publishing their letter since 1923, and he's our good buddy, Jim Ostroff. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you back, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, the right out of the box, your lead story this week in the letter is the economy. And you're saying, at first, it's choppy. We got a choppy, uneven period, and that even though things are getting better, the suffering is not over yet, according to Kiplinger. Talk to us about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's, on the positive side, there is a substantial 30% jump in housing starts. And
that's good news.
And it is very good news. It was one of the primary causes of the recession. I mean, it was the thing that really tipped us over. And of course, it's that starts, but also sales, of course, of new and existing homes, which will total about 5.8, just under 6 million this year, compared to 5.5 million last year. And, of course, it was way higher before that. So the point here, of course, is builders are beginning to see increased traffic at model homes with somewhat better credit, standards. I should say it will help ease the way for would-be buyers.
And one of the things, Jim, I'm concerned about is that isn't the new home tax credit, new home buyer tax credit, going away in a month or so?
It does expire.
And so I wonder if that's going to have a dampening effect. That's one of the bad things about government stimulus is it doesn't last forever, and when it goes away, that it'll be what will be interesting, Jim, is in 6 months for you and me to report on what happened after that stimulus goes away.
Yes, and of course that is that you see industry after industry. Of course, we saw in autos and continuing with housing. We've seen it in energy. When it goes away, you hold your breath and hope for the best. And that's why we sort of think, again, here, you look at home sales and prices are getting better. Don't be oversold on that, because we look and believe by summer it's going to be slumping again.
Well, exactly, for what we just talked about, but also you guys point out in the letter this week that even though things are turning, the result is still going to be one of the worst housing years in a long time.
Oh yeah, no, it absolutely.
So we don't like the number, but we like the trend, don't we?
It's basically the trend, which is so important, among other things, to instill a little bit of confidence in consumers, the mighty consumer, as well as businesses. That things have stabilized and are improving at least a bit. Of course, the biggest concern that so many people had was we were in free fall,
right,
and didn't know where the bottom is. So we've reached the bottom. We're climbing up slowly. It will be a fitful, choppy recovery.
Well, the other thing is these housing numbers are spread across the country.
That's right. It's
but
not
a lot of our pain is in pockets like the state of Florida, probably some in Atlanta, the city of Las Vegas, probably Phoenix, and Southern California. I mean, those are areas that where there's a lot of pain, a lot of inventory, And that's, those are high populated areas. Those are big economies. And so that's going to take quite a while to absorb, and it's going to have an impact on the economy.
It will. And of course, you know, as we also report this week, it's like 10% of the nation's 52 million mortgage holders have some trouble.
Yeah.
Real trouble. And that adds to anxiety and likely foreclosures, no matter what government programs or forgiveness is offered.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there is, of course, a stockpile of, right now, 2 million empty unsold homes. So,
yep. A lot of toxic stuff out there still to be absorbed. I wonder to come back to that mortgage topic with Jim Mostroff after these messages. Folks, it's Tony Taylor right back. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're talking about the Kiplinger letter. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. And you find lots of stuff there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Also, the Kiplinger letter is the one we're working off of today, as we have been now for the last almost 12 years with our good friend Jim Ostroff, editor over there at Kiplinger's. The Kiplinger letter, around since 1923, they continue to produce an outstanding product at their small business, the small family-owned business. It's still competing against the big guys very well, one of the things I admire about them. And, Jim, that's Kiplinger.com, right?
Yeah, that's Kip.com, Kiplinger.com. You can find everything there.
A number of other publications, too, three weeklies and the magazine, the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine. Jim, give us that website. The website's Kiplinger.com. What about the phone number?
There is a toll-free number, 800-544-0155.
Check it out. Don't forget that 30-day free trial that they're still offering that I worked hard to get you, by the way, folks. That's the story I'm sticking to. Jim, back to the economy and the impact of the housing industry on the economy. You know, there was a time, Jim, when automobiles and housing and construction were the two 800-pound gorilla driving forces of our economy. The automobile business is still a big deal, but it's bifurcated, it's sort of or stratified in a lot of different areas across the country.
That's right.
But the housing and construction, it's still an 800-pound gorilla, isn't it?
When
it's sick, we got a sick economy, don't we?
It is a pillar of the economy. You can't overemphasize that.
And one of the big drivers of housing is mortgage availability. And even though we got low rates, the issue is we've got two things. We've got having mortgage availability for new home buyers, but we've also got a sick mortgage industry in terms of all the potential foreclosures that are out there.
That's right. As I mentioned, we have huge numbers of people who huge numbers of unsold homes, more inventory coming on. And and in addition, there are so many more so-called people looking at so-called strategic defaults. Basically, homeowners willing to walk away because their homes are worth far less than the mortgage value.
And folks, whenever we talk about the recovery, when you've heard me talk about the recovery, Jim, a couple of weeks ago, I wrote an article about. The letter that I ascribe to this recovery, and I'm calling it the M recovery, meaning marathon. And this is these are some of the toxins that our economy has to absorb in order for us to fully recover from where we've been.
Absolutely. It's going to take time. And the thing is, of course, that, and yet demand does remain somewhat crippled because of high unemployment.
Right.
That is a key. If unemployment's high, not as many people can afford to buy. They're just not in the market.
But Jim, over the next 2 to 5 years, some people are going to make a lot of money buying these foreclosed homes and turning them around.
yes.
There are going to be some people who are going to do that. Some individuals are going to do it. Some larger organizations are going to do it. So when that starts happening, that'll be when we've started to absorb those toxins, and that'll turn into opportunity. And whereas now it's a drag on the economy, when all this gets washed through and it's been settled, the other side of that pendulum swing will create opportunity in the marketplace and growth in the economy.
And of course, there are people out there, smart people who know that. They know they're looking at real values of homes,
right,
beginning to acquire, and at some point it'll come back. And yes, they will make money, but also they will have removed all of those things from the market. Eating recovery. The market is working.
Jim, one of the big things about the recovery is access to capital for small business and availability of credit. And you guys report on page 2, you report on some of the things that are going on out there that small businesses are doing to find access to credit and to capital. Talk to us about that.
Well, I should say this here is actually, we're looking at a government program, something called community development financial institutions, but basically that is you have Uncle Sam getting behind various lenders, you know, to small businesses, offering, you know, which include banks, credit unions,
mm-hmm.
everything here, basically to help them and encourage them to make loans to small companies. And, you know, many companies are really flocking to these CFDIs, you know, because it's somewhat easier for them to get a loan than just going traditional routes. They can be more flexible, you know, than conventional loans. And, you know, for instance, they'll accept a car as collateral. Well, you rarely can do that, you know, so getting a standard loan in a bank.
So these are certain banks. These are banks that have become qualified by the government, banks, credit unions, and even and including venture capitalists, right?
Oh yes, venture capitalists too. It's looking at non-traditional channels. The
mm-hmm.
idea being here is,
mm-hmm.
you know, follow the money wherever the money.
This is not brand new though. This has been around in other forms over the years, hasn't it? It has been primarily administered to some degree. I think it's been associated with the SBA, but a new push and new funding for these groups. So, folks, look into the CDFI. Do a little more research on that. See if you're having trouble getting the cash you need. Maybe you need to look for organizations that have access to this kind of government support. CDFI is the acronym. And Community Development Financial Institutions. Quick break, 10 till, right back with Jim Ostroff after these messages. Stay with us.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.